Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. 2 weeks ago, for this podcast, we took a look at Mizmor Tzadihei, which is the first Mizmor of those which we say for Kabbalat Shabbat. I'd like to continue today with the Mizmorim of Kabbalat Shabbat and take a look at Tzadivav, the next Mizmor in line. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, the Mizmorim which we say for Kabbalat Shabbat, from Tzadi Vav through Kuf, right, for in some Sephardi communities, although Mizmor Kuf is not said in Ashkenazi Batei Knesset, these Mizmorim were already considered a subgroup within the Book of Tehillim long before they were chosen as the Mizmorim for Kabbalat Shabbat. Meaning that having nothing to do with Kabbalat Shabbat, they were already a group. They were already lumped together, so to speak. And that is because there are, as we will see, many common themes between them. Right, and so since they share certain themes, since they repeat certain ideas, right, they were sort of seen together. And we see that they're actually put near each other in the Book of Tehillim. What I would like to do today is to take a look at Mizmor Tzadivav. We're going to see some of these common themes that we already noted in Tzadihei. But I would also like to look afterwards at a particular part of the Mizmor, which I think expresses an interesting idea. And it shows us how often taking a close look at one small part of a Mizmor or of any section of the Tanakh can sort of shed a new light, which if you hadn't really noticed that particular thing and tried to understand it, so you would still understand the Mizmor, but perhaps not as deeply. Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, Shiru LaHashem Kol Haaretz. Right, just as we saw in Mizmor Tzadihei, Mizmor Tzadivav starts with an invitation to sing to Hashem. Right, in Tzadihei we saw Lechu Neranana LaHashem, come, let us sing to Hashem. Here too, Shiru, right, an imperative, command, sing. Sing a new song to Hashem. Shiru LaHashem Kol Haaretz. The entire world should sing to Hashem. Shiru LaHashem Baruch Shemo Basru Miyom Liyom Yeshuato. Right, bless His name every day. Right, one should sing, should tell of the things that Hashem does. Sapru Vagoyim Kvodo B'chol Ha'amim Nifleotav Ki Gadol Hashem Umulam Meod Norahu Al Kol Elohim. Right, tell of Hashem, of Hashem's kavod, of His glory, of His honor, to the goyim, right, to the nations of the world, right, tell all of the nations, right, chol ha'amim nifleotav, the wondrous things that Hashem does, ki gadol Hashem ulam ra'od, because Hashem is great, right, and in the next pasuk, right, ki kol Elohei ha'amim elilim v'Hashem shamay masa, all those other gods, right, all the other gods that are believed to be gods by the other nations, really are merely elilim, right? They are idols, but they don't have anything real to them. V'Hashem, on the other hand, Shamayim Asa, right? He is the creator of the heavens, right? Presumably not just the heavens, right? But heavens here being a stand-in for all of creation. He is the God of creation. He created the world. Therefore, he's God. Hod v'hadar lefanav, oz v'tiferet b'mikdasho, right? Hod and hadar, oz and tiferet, right? They are anthropomorphized here, as if they are the servants. Right? These attributes of Hashem are as if they are the servants of Hashem, right? That are serving before Him, right? They are in His mikdash. They are His entourage. Havu laHashem mishpachot amim. Havu laHashem kavod vaoz. Right. Bring, O nations of the world, to Hashem kavod vaoz, honor, glory, strength. Right. These are the things, more to attributes of a God, to attributes of God. So it is as if you are bringing them before Him. You are showing that you recognize these things in Him. Havu laHashem kivod shemo su'u mincha uvo lechatzerotav. Right, bring korbanot, go to the chatzerot of the mikdash, Right? And do all of these things in order to honor Hashem. Hishtachavu laHashem b'hadrat kodesh, chilu mipanav kol haaretz. Right? The entire aretz, the entire world, trembles before Hashem. Or to state it more accurately, right? Chilu mipanav. Right? It's a command. Tremble, fear, before Hashem. Now, many of these themes, as I already noted, we've seen before in Sadiheh, right? The idea of singing before Hashem because He is great. Singing before Hashem because He is the creator of the world, right? And we have to recognize this. What is somewhat new here is the command, right? This idea that we should tell all of this to the nations of the world, and that all of the nations of the world should recognize these things in Hashem as well. Right? In Mizmor Tzadiheh, it says that Hashem is the creator of the world, and it says that Hashem is, you know, greater than all the other gods, but there's no interaction here with the other nations, right? Nobody is going out in Mizmor Tzadiheh to tell of Hashem's greatness to the rest of the world. But here, right, that's a very dominant theme, right? Shiru laHashem, everybody, kol haaretz. And so this is a new idea that's introduced here, right? That it's not only us, it's not only Am Yisrael who is singing to Hashem, but the nations of the world as well, right? And there's discussion among the Mefreshim, you know, as to what is how we're supposed to understand the time frame of what's going on here. Are they saying that the rest of the world should sing because that's a reality right now, right? And some suggest that the audience here, so to speak, are those who are known as the Yirei Hashem, right? The non-Jews who kind of associate themselves with Am Yisrael without actually becoming part of Am Yisrael, and they recognize Hashem and fear Hashem and come to the Mikdash and bring Korbanot, etc. Or are we talking about something of a glimpse towards the future, right? A hope that one day the entire world will recognize Hashem and everyone will sing a song to Hashem. And that goes back to Pasuk Aleph, where we were discussing the different possibilities of understanding Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. Is it the Mishorer speaking to people before him and saying, come, let's sing a new song? In which case, that might be the situation of, well, of course, Am Yisrael, but also the Yirei Hashem, right? Those who already fear God, and the command is that these people should sing a song to Hashem. Or is it a hope, a prayer for some new chapter in the history of the world where there's this this vision that maybe one day the entire world will recognize and sing the praises of Hashem, and in which case it's Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, right? This is something new. This is something that's that the Mishorer is looking forward to in the future. Just as a note, as you might have noticed, right? We see in Pasuk Aleph Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, Shiru LaHashem Kol Haaretz, right? The whole earth should sing out to Hashem. And then in Pasuk Tet, Hishtachavu LaHashem b'hadrat kodesh, chilu mipanav kol haaretz. Again, kol haaretz, the entire earth. Now, of course, you know, one way, and probably an accurate way to interpret kol haaretz means all of the inhabitants of the earth, right? But I want to point out that kol haaretz literally means the entire earth itself. The reason that I point this out is that we'll see, right, in an upcoming psukim that is actually what happens. And it's not just the inhabitants of the earth, but according to the vivid description provided here by the Mishorer, the entire earth itself, not just its inhabitants, or not just its human inhabitants, is singing a song to Hashem. Imru bagoyim, Hashem Malach, right, say among the Goyim that Hashem reigns, right? Hashem is the ruler of the world, right? This again is a theme that we've seen previously. The idea of Hashem being the king, right? He is the one who created the world and therefore he reigns. There are some Mefreshim who suggest that perhaps this Mizmor was initially meant to be a Mizmor that was said in the Mikdash for Rosh Hashanah, because these themes that we are seeing here are some of the dominant themes of Rosh Hashanah, though there isn't really any clear proof that that's when this mizmor was said. So perhaps those perushim could be seen as at least minimally just a way of pointing out that these themes are the themes are themes that are shared with the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah. But once again, right? Say to the goyim that Hashem is the one who rules. He is who reigns. Right? He is the king. Aftikon tevel baltimot. Right? The fact that Hashem is the king of the world, that He reigns in the world, right? What does that mean? That the tevel, right? The earth itself, right? Has been established in such a way that it won't fall down. We'll get back to that. Yadin amim b'meisharim, right? Hashem is the melech, and right, as we know from other mizmorei tehillim and also from other contexts in Tanakh at large, right? The king, among other things, is the one who judges. And here we're told, Yadin amim b'meisharim, right? Hashem will judge the nations b'meisharim, right? In a straight manner, right? In a correct, straight, honest manner. Yismechu hashamayim v'tagel ha'aretz yiram hayam u'milo'o. Right? As a reaction to this idea that Hashem is king, the shamayim, the skies and the aretz rejoice. Right? The yismechu hashamayim tagel ha'aretz, yismechu being parallel to v'tagel. Right? There's a rejoicing of heaven and earth, yiram hayam umilo'o, right? The sea as well makes a great noise, right? Cries out here, a joyful noise, it's meant to be, right? This is clearly, you know, obviously an interpretation of the waves, right? The noise that the waves make, which is sometimes compared to or similar to ra'am, right? Yiram, thunder. Right here, it's the yam, but not only the yam, everything that fills the yam, right? We've seen this in other mizmorei tehillim, that the sea is like a world in itself, right? And we know that from the reality of the world that we're familiar with, not just from tehillim, right? The sea has its own inhabitants. It has, and so here, all of the inhabitants, not only of the earth, right, the dry land, but of the sea, are singing out to Hashem. Ya'aloz sadai v'chol asher bo. And also, the fields and everything that's in the fields, the crops, right, of all sorts, are rejoicing, right? Ya'aloz, another word for rejoice, will rejoice. As yiranenu kol atzei ya'ar, right? Also, right, at that time, when Hashem is the king, when Hashem is recognized as king, all of the trees of the forest will also rejoice. Right, so you have four words for rejoicing here: simcha, gila, alida, and rina. Right, all of these are different forms of rejoicing, and here, and you have all the different parts of the world rejoicing. You have the shemayim and the aretz. You have the heavens and the earth. You have the sea and everything that's in the sea. You have the fields and everything that grows in the fields. And you have the trees of the forest. Right, the trees of the forest, countering the field. The field is that which is cultivated, where things are grown through agriculture. The forest are those things which grow on their own. Right, generally not fruit trees like that. That would be, I guess, part of the sadeh. Here, it's just the forest trees, right? The trees that are just trees. Right, all of these are rejoicing before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, right? Continuation of the pasuk before. Kiba, right? They are rejoicing before Hashem because Hashem is coming, right? Because he is there judging the world. Kiva lishpot haaretz, yishpot tevel b'tzedek. He judges or will judge the world bitzedek, and we'll talk about tzedek in a moment, right? We will translate it now very loosely as righteousness or justice. Va'amim be'emunato. And again, will judge the amim, the nations of the entire world, be'emunato. Emunato, here meaning truth, right? Very often in Tanakh, emunah and emet are interchangeable, right? So he judges b'tzedek, righteousness, and he judges be'emunato, in his truthfulness. And for that reason, the entire world rejoices. Right, so once again, right, we have the old familiar themes of Hashem being the creator of the world, the ruler of the world, and for that, and in recognition of that, we are told to sing, right? And the new element that we see here that we did not see in Sadihe is this idea that this is something that will be in the entire world, and not just among Am Yisrael. Right, that the entire world will see, will one day recognize, and will see, sing this song to Hashem. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that you know, it's not entirely clear what the initial context of this mizmor was. Was there a specific context in, let's say, the mikdash, or a certain type of korban that was brought while this was being said, or for a certain holiday or event? It's not entirely clear, right? Or it could have just been stem, right? The Mishorer was inspired to write this mizmor in praise of Hashem. But we do know that this mizmor is part of Kabbalat Shabbat. And of course, the appropriateness is fairly clear, right? We talked about this again also when we looked at Sadihe, that here we're talking about Hashem as the creator of the world. And that has clear connections to Shabbat, right? The day that we stop to remember that Hashem is the creator of the world. And it's also an invitation to sing, which of course is what we're doing in Kabbalat Shabbat. And so the combination, right, an invitation to sing to remind us that Hashem is the creator of the world, well, you know, that's clearly relevant for Kabbalat Shabbat. I would like to look at one particular image in this mizmor to try to deepen what I just said, right, to try to first of all, deepen our understanding of the mizmor itself, right, regardless of the context in which we say it nowadays. And also, I think it'll deepen the appropriateness and the meaningfulness of this mizmor as a mizmor that we say at the beginning of Shabbat. At the beginning of the section, which talks about the entire world, literally, meaning the things of the earth, the heavens and the earth, the plants, right, the things that make up the world itself and not just the human beings that are within it, singing to Hashem, starts with a very interesting image. And that is the image of God's establishing the world. Right, we already said that this mizmor recognizes Hashem as the creator of the world, and also in Pasuk Yud, as the king of the world, right? He creates and therefore he reigns. And in the continuation of Pasuk Yud, which concludes with the idea of Hashem judging, right? He's the king who judges all of the nations, Yadin Amim B'Meisharim. But just before that, just before the first mention of Hashem judging all of the nations of the world, it says that Hashem is the king, Hashem Malach, Af Tikon Tevel Bal Timot. Part of Hashem's being king, right, which again is because he is the creator of the world, is tied up with the fact that he established the world in such a way that it will not topple. Right, the fact that Hashem is king guarantees that the world is stable. The fact that Hashem judges b'mei sharim, yadin amim b'mei sharim, is again connected to this idea that the world is steady, right? He established the world so that it won't fall over. Right? What exactly is that talking about? So on the one hand, it could be that, well, you know, God, he's a capable God, right? And when he sets out to create a world, he does it in a way that it's not going to fall apart. Right, so it could be simply saying that. It's another way of praising Hashem. He creates a world, and, well, you know, it's a very good world. It's guaranteed to last. But I'd like to suggest that there's more to it than that. And that this idea of the world remaining stable because Hashem is the one who created it, because he is the king, and because he is judging as king, that all of these things are connected together. We see, right, in Pasuk Yud, as I just quoted, it says Aftikon Tevel Baltimot, that the earth, but here the word for earth is not Aretz, it's Tevel, is established in a way that it won't topple. And we see that same word being used in the last Pasuk of the Mizmor, right? Where again it's connected with the judgment of Hashem. The last Pasuk, right, well, the Pasuk before, Pasuk Yudbet talks about all the trees and the plants and the fields all rejoicing before Hashem. Right, lifnei Hashem kiva lishpot ha'aretz. All of this great rejoicing is because Hashem is judging the world. Right, so there's great joy, happiness in the fact that Hashem judges the world, which is an interesting juxtaposition. Right, that the idea that being judged can bring about joy. I can think of a lot of positive emotions. Joy, I'm not sure, is the first one that come to mind, but here that seems to be a good thing. Right, the judgment of Hashem. I mean, not that the judgment of Hashem is ever thought of as a bad thing, but it might be fearsome, it might be awe-inspiring. But here is joy, right? This is a wholly positive emotion. And then again, the last part, the very, very last sentence, Yishpot Tevel B'Tzedek, the same Tevel, the same earth that he established in a permanent, untoppling manner, he will judge b'tzedek, in righteousness, and the nations of the world he will judge be'emunato, which we said already is in truth, in emet, with truthfulness. It seems that what is being offered here is an idea, is a suggestion as to not only how the world came into being, meaning by the creation of done by God, but how the world is to be sustained. Right? That we're talking about here not only the fact that Hashem did certain things, but we're seeing that those things are intrinsically connected with the continuation of the world. To bolster this idea, right, I'd like to read one pasuk from a different Mizmor Tehillim, which we're also somewhat familiar with, and that being the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Hashlishi. And clearly, we're not going to learn all of this Mizmor right now, just to look at one little part of it. Here, generally speaking, this Mizmor, it's Mizmor Pei Bet, right? Mizmor La'asaf, Elohim Nitzav Badat El Bekerev Elohim Yishpot. Right, that Hashem again is seen as being the judge, right? But then he turns to earthly judges, it seems, right, and is saying that they are not judging the way that they are meant to, right? Shiftu dalvi atom aniva rashit stiku patu dalvi avyom miyad v'shaim hatzilu lo yadu lo yevelo yevinu b'chashicha italachu. Right, these judges are not judging properly. Right, they are walking in the dark. Yimotu kol mostei aretz. Right, and as a result, the very foundations of the earth have toppled down. Right, so we see here in that mizmor, in this mizmor as well, that the foundations of the world, the very earth itself, is dependent upon proper judgment. And if proper judgment is not done, that shatters the very foundations of the earth. This idea is seen in a much less metaphorical way In the Torah itself, right? In the Torah, in Sefer Devarim, in Perek Tet Zayin, right? Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. The Torah commands that we have to establish for ourselves a system of justice, right? And of course, the system of justice has to be the proper system of justice, right? V'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek, right? Mishpat can be lots of things. What you need to do is mishpat tzedek, mishpat which is based on tzedek, on righteousness, right? We'll get to a clear understanding of what tzedek means in a moment, but we see that same word in our mizmor, right? When Hashem is judging the world, right? Yishpot tevel b'tzedek, right? He will judge the world in righteousness, v'amim v'emunato, and with truth. The same section is in Sefer Dvarim, which in Perek Tet Zayin, which I was just quoting from, right, gives us an idea of what tzedek is. Lo tate mishpat, lo takir panim, v'lo tikach shochad, ki ha-shochad ye'aver einei chachamim v'yisalef divrei tzadikim. What does it mean to have mishpat tzedek? Mishpat tzedek is judgment where everything is kept in proper alignment. Right, everything is balanced, everything is fair. Right, if you have a mishpat which recognizes faces, right, as a literal translation, lo takir panim, right, which where the judgment is veered one way or the other because of a judge's compassion for a poor person or because of a judge's awe of an important person, right. Or if the judge recognizes and therefore changes his judgment because he's related to one of the people, or is friends with that person's father, right? All of these different things is what Sefer Dvarim is telling the judges they must not do. For mishpat to be mishpat tzedek, it has to be even. It has to be mishpat which isn't allowed to veer off in one direction or the other. The next pasuk, the famous pasuk, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, you must pursue tzedek. Right? The Ibn Ezra says there that why is it tzedek, why is the word said twice? Because it has to be tzedek, if you have to pursue tzedek if the tzedek is to your benefit or if it's to your detriment. When a person goes to court, right, when he goes to be a litigant in a court case, his or her desire has to be that the outcome will be tzedek, regardless of whether or not that particular tzedek helps them. Right? That is the ideal, the Ibn Ezra explains. Right? Interestingly, the pasuk then continues, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, leman tichye v'yerashta et ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. Right? Am Yisrael's very existence in the land is dependent on tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Right. So while here we're talking about Jewish society, meaning that the society of Am Yisrael depends on Mishpat Tzedek, right? And in the Mizmor, it's talking in a more metaphorical sense that the foundations of the world are dependent upon Tzedek. But essentially, it's saying the same thing. The world as we know it, whether it be society or whether it be the earth, the physical earth itself, is dependent upon mishpat tzedek, and of course in our mizmor, right, the metaphor is very likely meant to be talking about the society of that we build in the world. For a while, you know, there is precedent for the idea that if we don't behave properly, the world can be destroyed. Right, see Parshat Noach. In all likelihood, it's talking as a metaphor for the world as we know it, the society in which we live, right? And that is what is dependent upon tzedek. So and just the word tzedek, right, to go back to the word tzedek for a moment, the very meaning of the word tzedek means exactly what we're talking about here, keeping things balanced, keeping things in alignment. In certain cognate languages, the word tzedek means exactly that. It means smooth, straight. Right, and we have that in our understanding of the words also. A tzaddik is a straight person, someone who is yashar. Right, we see then how we translate the word into English as well. Right, sometimes a tzaddik is called a just person. Tzedek, right, is justice. And this can be seen in other usages of the word as well. When we justify something, right, a related word, we sometimes think of it as like apologetics, right? We're making up reasons why it's really okay. But the original meaning of the word means, no, it means to align what we have done with what is correct. And this works, of course, for the concrete meaning of the word justify as well, right? When we justify the margins of a page, we're bringing them, we're aligning them, we're making sure that they're straight, right? So that at the very heart of the word tzedek is this idea of alignment, of balance, of everything being the way that it is supposed to be, right? Even tzedakah, the word tzedakah, which comes from the word tzedek, of course, right, is the bringing into alignment of all people. If there's a person who is poor, right, then they are not lined up, they are not in alignment with the rest of the people. And so we give tzedakah so that, at least to some extent, these people can be brought into alliance, into alignment, into balance with everybody else. Which brings us back to our metaphor in this mizmor, right? Hashem, through tzedek, right? When Hashem creates the world, he creates a world that he will judge using tzedek, but a world in which he also expects that we are going to judge using tzedek, right? That is the expectation, right? And so when Hashem creates the world in this manner, right, that is why, as the Mizmor says, right, Aftikon Tevel Baltimot, he has created a world that isn't going to topple over, because when there is tzedek, when there is balance, when there's alignment, right, the world is steady, right, the world isn't going to topple over. Only in a situation like we saw in the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Shlishi, when tzedek is not done, right, that is when Kol Mosdei Aretz, right, will topple over. And so I think that that's why in this Mizmor, the entire earth, not just its inhabitants, but the earth itself is rejoicing. Because what is happening here is that the metaphor, right, and the reality, so to speak, meaning the mashal and the nimshal, to use Hebrew terms, are kind of being intertwined, right? The rejoicing of the world itself, right, the heavens and earth, the plants, the trees, the fields, is because the world itself is balanced, is brought into a situation of tzedek because of the judgment of Hashem, right, kibah, right, that Hashem is coming to judge the earth, and this is causing rejoicing because it balances the world, it keeps it steady, right? And of course, right, the rest of the world is also singing out, because that's the nimshel, right? There, that's the reality of what the mizmor is talking about. That the human inhabitants of the world will imitate Hashem in this manner, and this way keep the world going, right? That the world that Hashem has created, right, and that's what we're stopping to recognize when we read this mizmor and when we say Kabbalat Shabbat, right? The world that Hashem has created is not only created by Hashem, but it's created in such a way that it's sustainable, right? And that, of course, is by continuing the Mishpat Tzedek that Hashem, upon which Hashem has created the world. Shabbat Shalom u'mevorach.